September 7th, 2014, Sunday morning service. Today we are going to study from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 30. For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." And again, "The Lord will judge his people." Here he's talking about vengeance. But this subject did not pop up out of nowhere. This is a continuation of what the scripture is talking about in the earlier sections, like verse 26 and 27. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. This, I think, is talking about the Christians who spread the Babylonian doctrine. The United States represent the modern-day Babylon, so those false doctrines from the U.S. need to be expelled and judged. Those verses we just read is talking about Christians because the verse says, "We have received the knowledge of the truth," and non-believers do not receive any knowledge of the truth. So this is about Christians who know the truth, and yet choosing to say that once saved, always saved. Those people will be judged by God. The verse 28 talks about the people who knew the law of Moses, yet died without mercy, which is about the Jews, the people of God, because non-Jews did not know the law. So these passages are talking about the Christians. Verse 29, "Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy, who has trampled the Son of God underfoot?" So again, this is about the Christians who trample the Son of God underfoot by rejecting the Holy Spirit, but choose to go with the demonic spirit-instigated revival, like the one done by Benny Hinn. You need to understand the whole picture in order for us to proceed from the verse 30, which is today's section. The book of Hebrews is for Christians, his people, not for Egyptians or Pharaoh or non-believers. We all need to understand that there will be judgment for Christians too. Because they don't understand this, many Christians are deceived and then read the book like Left Behind series and then think that they will be lifted up before the great tribulations. They might have the Bible, but they are not reading it. And I also noticed that even some Bible translations are incorrect. So we have to always compare and study. For example, this verse 30 has a little note saying that it is quoted from the book of Deuteronomy 32-36. But if you look it up, the passage is not there. But in King James Version, it says, "The Lord will judge his people." But in Japanese translation, it says, "The Lord will cover his people." So it is wrong translation. And the scripture continues to say, "And have compassion on his servants." So again, if you're studying about the end time and read Revelations, if you don't understand that God does judge his people and his church, you will not understand the book at all. You will not understand what it means by grapes trampled in the wine press and the blood flowed out of the press, rising as high as the horse's bridles. It is all God's mystery, but if you read it as a judgment for the Christians, you will understand it clearly. Your eternal life is at stake. So we want to teach the gospel correctly, rather than preaching something to tickle your ears. Let's go back to the book of Hebrews, verse 32. "But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings." This great struggle and sufferings happen when you see the truth. In other words, if you have not got hold of the truth, you might not encounter great struggle. Paul is a good example. He had his eyes covered with scales and did not understand the speech of Stephen, and Paul was even helping the execution of Stephen by holding the cloaks of those who stoned Stephen. And in his way, and on his way to Damascus to persecute more Christians, Paul saw Jesus, and then he became blind. And once he got to Damascus, his eyes opened, and his scales came off and then saw the light for the first time. And after this transformation, he had a lot of sufferings in his life. But prior to the conversion, he had all the support and respect from the Pharisees and the priests and the religious group. But once he encountered the light, his struggles and battles started. People tried to kill him and he got persecuted in various places. So if we have the truth and speak the truth, persecution is expected. We may not win the popularity vote among Christian community, but we spend our own money to mail out the newsletters and people still hate us. But don't be surprised, because Paul spent his own money to travel and preach the gospel, and Jewish people still hated him. So do not doubt what we are doing. The true light always collides with the world. Verse 33, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. This is the treatment we receive when you hold the light. We are made a spectacle. The Greek word they use for this section is theater. So you will be in the center of people's attention. I don't necessarily enjoy that either, but this is expected. But if you cannot take it, and that's the depth of your walk with Christ. What I'm grateful is that ever since I became Christians, I served a lot for my church and by distributing tracts and flyers and doing street evangelizing. So I am not afraid of people's rejection or reactions. Verse 34. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. This is another reproach we might experience in the end time. I don't want my goods to be plundered, of course, but if that is what happens because of our faith, it is what it is. If they take 10 yen from you, for example, that's not going to do anything with you. That's not going to shake your faith. But if you have all your money taken, and that will shake your faith. Satan knows how to shake your faith. And that's why it is written here, because this is what's going to happen. I just read about a preacher in Arizona who held a Bible study gathering at home and ended up being arrested and fined for about $12,000. And that is the kind of shaking I'm talking about. So if your possession is plundered, and if you understand the Bible, you know what to do. And as the verse says, you have better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. And we do have the eternal possession, and we have to believe the much better things are waiting for us. Verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. I looked up the word confidence in Greek, and the same Greek word is used in Mark 8:32. He spoke this word openly, then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. This part, speaking the word openly, uses the same Greek word which is used for the word confidence. So I also looked up many other places where this word is used, and I concluded that this word means to declare publicly and openly. So I think this should be read as that we should not stop declaring the name of Jesus Christ and our faith in God. So when you say casting away our confidence, it sounds more like quiet inner actions in our heart. But this is more outward actions, which is to confess Jesus Christ is the Lord with our mouth publicly. And that will bring us great reward. We have to start doing that now. If you're hesitating it now, when there is no persecution, how can we do this in a time of persecution? We should start doing it now without being embarrassed. It is like preparing for the day of the Lord in Ezekiel. It is all about what we do every day for the Lord. Verse 36, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. In order to do the work for the Lord and obtain His promise, endurance is needed. We have sent out the newsletter this week, and it was very difficult. I know that this is what God wants us to do, and I also know that what God wants us to do requires a lot of endurance and patience. But when we are doing the things that God is not in it, it's like doing church bazaar or doing some Christmas concert, well, you would do it so smoothly. For example, in the time of Haggai, God wanted His people to build the temple of God, not their houses. So if you look at this in modern times, God wants us to build our church and not our houses. We should know the priority in God's eyes. Here we are trying to rebuild the ruined church of God, and I do believe that God wants us to accomplish this work. So even if we are occasionally disappointed by something, and we have to pick ourselves up and continue with the work, then that's endurance, and that kind of attitude will bring us great reward. And we always have to make sure that we are not doing something that God did not even ask us to do, which happens quite often too. But I believe you're doing exactly what God wants us to do, and we should be grateful for that. And I also look up the word endurance. Let's look at Luke 8:14. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. This is a parable of sowing and reaping. And when you sow seeds, most important thing is to have the harvest. And there are many Christians who do not have the harvest of the fruit. They hear the word of God, but it does not come to the fruitation. Verse 15, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. This bear fruit with patience uses the word endurance. So you need to endure, to continue with your prayer life, to hold on to faith, and to do the walk. But if you don't have the endurance, you will not see any fruit, and the seeds sown into you will be all wasted. Verse 37 and 38. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. This is about the second coming of Christ, quoted from Habakkuk. So many Christians believe in that they will be lifted up before the tribulations, which is a lie and not biblical. This talks about people of faith going through struggles and being a spectacle. So we will see the tribulations, but Christ will come in the midst of it. And that's why faith is required, as the verse 38 says. Our faith will be shaken. And as the Bible talks about the destruction of the temple, which is the church, and the foundation of the temple means apostles and prophets, and the cornerstone is Jesus Christ. Many Christians' faith will be shaken throughout the world. The shaking of the heavens and earth is permitted by God, because that's how God separates true believers from the rest, for God to separate gold and silvers and treasures from the rest. So God's gaze is not on everyone, but on treasures, and not on the whole wheat, like stems and leaves, but on its fruit. So when we are able to bear fruit, that's when we know that we will be lifted up and become a bride of Christ.